John chapter 13 and verse 1, nigh before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them on to the end. Let us stop there for a moment. And let us look how the Lord had gathered his people together, the 12 disciples. And here they were to gather around the Savior's feet. And it says how he was preparing them. Remember, he was preparing them for his departure. That he was going to the cross. He was giving his life for you and I on the cross. And let us remember that the Lord says here that he loved them. He loved them, his own. He loved them so much. And let me say tonight that God loves you and I. Let us never forget that he loves you and I tonight. If you're unsaved tonight, God loves you. If you're a believer, God loves you. Never lose sight of that great love. The love of God never changes. Human love, we can love somebody today and hate them tomorrow. We're queer people, aren't we? Our love is all over the place. But God's love is always the same. It amazes me how he loves us when we fail him and let him down. Yet he loves us with that everlasting love. And he loved the disciples. And as he came here to teach them and tell them what was going to happen, he says in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, oh, the devil's never too far, is he? Satan's always about. Why? Because Satan knew what was happening. And he was out to destroy those who would follow the Lord Jesus. And you remember there were 12, and yet one of them was the devil. And the devil came, and it says, having now put into the heart of Judas the Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was coming from God and went to God. Remember that he came from God. He came for a purpose. He came to die. But he was also going back to his Father. And I'm sure it's wonderful, and we remember the words of the Lord in John 17, and I know that you've studied them because I have every tape, and I'm listening to those tapes, and it's done you a world of good, so I'm sure it did you to listen to your pastor as he preached in that lovely chapter, John 17. How he came to glorify his Father, and that he may be glorified by going back to the Father, and sitting on the right hand of God. He arose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel, when wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Dost thou wash my feet? That's your heart tonight if you're unsaved. Do you need wash? Yes, you need wash, as the Lord points out. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Here he's pointing to the cross. Understand. And he was pointing what will happen at the cross and how they will know why they need to be washed. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Very strong words. Never wash my feet. Oh, words that sometimes cannot be taken back. I know that very quickly, as Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What a statement. So friend, tonight if you won't let God wash you in the blood of the Lamb, then you will never enter into God's kingdom. You have no part with God. Away with your self-righteousness. Away with your good works or your baptism. He said, unless you are clean, you will not enter into the heavens unless I wash you. Remember, the washing of the feet talks about cleansing, purifying. The feet that are mostly used walking in the sand and the dirt of the day. Every night they came and they washed their feet so they may be clean. And you know what was the words of Simon Peter? He said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh Lord, wash me all over. The message got through to Peter. He was going to be left out if he didn't humble himself. And he cried out, Lord, not only my feet, my hands, my head, from the toes to the head, that I may be clean. That's the prayer that you and I need to pray tonight, is the prayer of repentance for cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus said unto him, he that washes needeth not sieve to wash his feet, but is clean even with thy. Ye are clean, but all. For he knows who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. And here he's telling about Judas. His feet were washed, but his heart was dark. And you know, friend, there's people sitting in churches, have been through the motions, and sit and they look as a Christian. And remember reading the story of a church in Northern Ireland, and there was a lady in the meeting. In fact, she played the organ, and she played it for 30 years, and you know, she wasn't saved. Everybody thought she was saved. She looked like a Christian. She acted like a Christian. She went through the motions as a Christian, but her heart was not cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Her feet were not washed. She wasn't purified by the precious Word of God. One night, as the pastor was preaching, the tears come down her cheek. And she went into the little room where the minister was and told him the story. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't take it in. I'm glad tonight that God looketh in the inside. Men look in the outside, but God looketh in the heart, friend. And let me say tonight, you cannot fool God. And friend, don't try to. You may fool me. I may fool you. Nobody knows. Only God knows the heart of each and every one. He knows all about us. Because when that great day comes, every one of us will either stand in the white throne and be judged according to your sins, or will stand as believers and given a kind of the service and the life that we lead. Thank God we'll never stand and give an account for our sin. We'll stand and give what we have done for Jesus. But you, friend, if you're not saved, and your family or your friends or the people of the church, friend, think you're saved. Oh, friend, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled tonight, because it does not matter what we think. It doesn't matter what your minister thinks, because he can do nothing. I can do nothing. Every individual who are saved tonight in this meeting can do nothing. Only God can change the heart and give you a new heart. And so, friend, don't be a fool, as Judas deceived, and no one knew that it was Judas. They all looked at themselves, and that's a good thing, to look, is it I, Lord? Is it I? And friend, it's good to say, is it I? That identifies that we're searching our hearts and see if there's no unclean thing within our hearts. That God may cleanse us as believers if there's sin land in our hearts, that we may walk according to God's will. But sinner tonight, if you're not saved, friend, you don't be foolish and worry about people. You worry about the God of heaven, who will open all things, and all things will be revealed in that day, and there is nothing that will be hidden, and your sins will be seen, and you'll stand before God and be judged, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Friend, and no better to be honest now. It says, now is the accepted time, not tomorrow. Now to be honest with yourself. Now to be honest in your heart. Now to say where you stand, why we're evil. Because there comes a day when no man will know. I said, when I got the phone call about my mum, that day, that Friday, that Thursday night, I said to my brother, I'll be over as soon as I get this meeting over, the young people's meeting, and I'll be over. And I got over about 10 o'clock, and him and I sat to half one. Everything seemed all right. She was just lying there. And I said, look, I'll go home and get a bit of sleep because I have a funeral first thing in the morning. And so I went home and arrived home about quarter to two, and was just getting to bed. And just shortly after 2 o'clock, and the phone rang. Eric, mom's gone. As quick as that, friend. As quick as that. She was gone. Thank God, away to heaven. But friend, if that was to happen to you tonight, where would you stand? Young person! Oh, don't think because you're young tonight that it cannot happen. Well, we had the time, let us go up to the graveyards around the country and look at the gravestones and see how many young people have been cut off. Cut off. Cut off, friend. In the eternity without God. Without making their peace with God. How many people you've heard saying, well, I will get right with God before I die. Friend, no one knows what way they're going to die. And friend, we can boast as much as we want. But that death could come quickly and you'll not have a chance. Oh, be honest within your heart today. Know that the Lord loves you. So after he had washed his feet and had taken his garment and was sent down again, he said unto them, know ye that I have done to you. Know what I have done to you, how I washed your feet, demonstrating the washing and cleansing of your heart before God. But you know, this wee picture just reminded me today of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see him hanging on the cross, friend? The end of the day, we must go to the cross, because it's there that you meet Jesus. It was there that your sins were washed away. It was there at Calvary's cross that Jesus died for your sins. There he paid my sins and took my place. And thank God, I'm glad that he called me and saved me. And friend, there he died and suffered and shed his precious blood. Without this shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And you know, friend, it's just made me think what I said there, that he knew that I have what I have done. It reminded me when he said on the cross, it is finished. I have finished. He demonstrated by washing the feet what he expected of his disciples. and that he would finish and humble himself as the Saviour did. And he was also showing them how you and I should be living, that just because we have a high position or educates might be, it matters not in the eyes of God that we should be humble to wash these others' feet, or humble to come down to the level of the drunkard on the street, or the poor beggar that knows nothing of the wonderful grace that to remind ourselves from where we all come from. God has blessed us, and we have done well in life, but never remember some of us come from very strange past lives. And God has lifted us and saved us because he finished the work. He was the only one who could finish the work, is Christ. And you remember those words in John chapter 3 and 5? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." The water speaking about the pure Word of God. Unless the Word of God cleanses us, we cannot be born again. We cannot be born of the church, or of a creed, or being a good member, or paying one-tenth of our earnings into the church. We can only be saved by the washing of the water. In Ephesians 5 and 26, it says that he, being sanctified and cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word. And it's only through the word that you and I can be cleansed tonight. You can be baptized, you can be sprinkled, but you'll be no better, friend. It's only through the power of the word of God. Then in Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, by the washing of the pure word of God, that you and I can be cleansed this night. In Hebrews 9 and 22, "And almost all things are by the law pure with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission." Oh friend, we don't know how it works. It is a mystery. But all we know that the Word of God is pure. It's cleansing. It cleanses the hearts of men and women. It changes the life the minute we accept the Word of God without question. The question is that you come just as you are, with all your sins, with all your doubts, with all your fear. You come to Christ and you lay at his feet. And thank God, I remember the night that I could see you. You may say, "But I don't understand, friend. I never understood either." As a young boy of 14, not able to read or to write, couldn't you John 3 and 16? But I knew in my heart that night that I was a sinner, that something drew me to that minister's room to talk to him. My soul was disturbed and I was upset. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but I knew that it was drawing me to God. And that understanding, the Lord didn't say, "Eric, you don't know the Bible. You don't know my word. I can't accept you." No, he tells us if we believe his word, accept his word, believe in the finished work of Calvary, we shall be saved. And as a little boy at that age, give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that night he changed my life. The word of God, by the power of the word that was preached that night, I came as a sinner. And taking Jesus as my Savior. Whenever that meeting, not knowing anything, only that I was saved, Jesus Christ, as my own and personal Savior. Was there a change? Praise God, there was. First thing I did, I witnessed to my parents. Went to school the next day. The teachers that I tortured, and many of them nearly pulled all their hair out, couldn't control me, seeing the change. What happened to you? Thank God was able to say, I came to Jesus. Oh, if anybody had known anything, they could have tied me up nuts. But there's one thing they couldn't take away from me, that I have been with Jesus, because I was there, and I know what he did. And I remember going home that first night and kneeling up my bed. And I remember for the first time, I never prayed in my life. I never sat in the side of my bed and prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't understand, but I know that you have something for me to do. Well, the Lord has certainly heard that prayer. And thank God he has helped me for over these 48 years now, 49 this year, being a Christian. Oh, I've failed him many, many times. But thank God he has never failed me. And friend, in Revelations 1 and verse 5 said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own precious blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. That we are his children, that we become kings and princes unto God, because he has washed us in the precious blood of Jesus. Thank God tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Friend, it doesn't matter how deep in sin that you may go. Praise God, he is able to lift us up from the gutter and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And thank God that night I trusted in him. I remember, as you know, I was involved with the Mormons. And when the Mormons, when I didn't come back again, they came to the house. And I remember my mom coming and said, there's two men standing at the door looking at you. So when I went out and I stood, these boys, you know, are well trained in the way they believe. And they were after me and I said, look, I am saved. I came to the knowledge of Jesus. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. One didn't understand, but the other, one was American and one was from Ulster. And he knew what I was saying, because he knew the gospel. Though he was following the wrong road, he knew what I was saying was right. And there was no argument. And you know, they went away. And thank God, from that day to now, the Lord has been with us and has blessed us. But friend, tonight, as we finish off, thank God unto him that loved us. Remember that tonight. He loves you. Oh, friend, he loves you. His love is the same today, as we said at the beginning. Don't lose sight of that love for your soul, for your life. The purpose of Christ dying is to rescue you from hell, from sin, and from the grips of Satan, and to set you free tonight from that sin. You may say tonight, oh, I'm deep in sin, or nobody knows the things that I am involved in. God knows. And God will deliver you if you come as a sinner and take Christ as your Savior. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, friend, he wants to wash you tonight. He wants to wipe the past out. You know, the wonderful thing is, he says he'll never remember those sins anymore. Thank God tonight, our sins are gone. You may say, oh great, that's great, I can do with a lesson. Not at all, friend. Not at all. You'll not do what you like. The man that sinneth against God will be judged. And you may make a profession, but have no possession. And that may tell you it'll not change your life. But a man and woman or boy and girl comes with true repentance to God will know that they have eternal life. I was asked that one day, how do you know? I said, I know because Jesus lives within me. He's in my heart. He's in my soul. He leads me. He guides me. He has changed my mind. He has changed my heart. I'm a new person. New desires. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. His old thing passed away. And behold, all things become new. Thank God that we become new in Christ tonight, friend. He changes your life. He'll set you free tonight. Will you come to Calvary tonight? Will you trust him? Will you come and bow the knee? Maybe someone's with you, someone you know. Say to them, talk to them. Come and get right with God. You young ones, friends, come, turn to the Lord. There's nothing out there for you. There's pleasure for a season. Sin will destroy you. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You have a choice tonight. Take Christ and have life. Continue in your sin. You have death and destruction. Friend, we have seen it. Many believers who are here know through life's journey have seen many, many people. What sin has done to them has destroyed them. And they thought they had life, to the marks of the sin that they desire to have has destroyed their lives. And friend, thank God we as believers tonight, praise God, are free in Christ tonight. That we walk with him, he leads us and he blesses his people. I always say to our people, you know, don't be worried about this decision. God will take care of his people. It may be hard, we may have to struggle, but he will take care of us. God will never fail his people. He is there for us, watching over us, and guiding us. Yes, sometimes we may have to go through very difficult times. As I said earlier, sometimes I always say to the Lord, why have we to go through over three years fighting for something that should have been done at the beginning? But God has a purpose and a trial, why these trials come to us. And you know, many a sleepless night I have. Many a night I couldn't sleep. But down the stairs crying and thinking, I'm all alone. But I wasn't. God was with me. God was watching over us. We couldn't see the light. We all like to see the light at the other side of the tunnel. But sometimes that light at the other side, it's closed to us for God's purpose. But at the end of it, you and I stick in there. Praise God, there's going to be great blessing for the people of God. And Sarah, you may not understand tonight. And you may be fighting the battle just now where you sit. And the devil reminds you of everything. How do I know? I was there. Ask every believer here tonight and they'll tell you the same thing. They fought the same battle. Choosing sin or Christ. Choosing the way of the world or Christ. The battles, and you'll never keep it, or you'll not enjoy it, and all the lies of Satan. But once you make that step of faith and trust Christ, you'll never look back. You'll never look back, because he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help. He comes, he lives with us day and night. He's watching over us 24 hours a day. Praise God, he's a wonderful Savior. Friend, will you take him tonight? Will you look to Calvary? Will you go to Calvary tonight? Will you get your feet washed? Will you get your heart washed in the blood and come a new creature in Christ Jesus? I pray tonight that you will come and trust in Him.